Okay, today's topic is something of a fulfillment of a promise that I made a few months ago. If you recall, when we were talking about selling chometz, we had a share before Pesach about selling chometz, and I began with a story, which I will repeat for those of you who weren't there, and if you were there, so you'll hear it again. A friend of mine many years ago in London was at an interfaith dinner, sitting next to a priest of some kind, and they were eating and they were chatting, and along came some bread rolls, and my friend picked up the bread roll and made a bracha, mezonos, because it was mezonos bread, and started eating the bread. And the priest turned around to him and said, "Excuse me, I hope you don't mind me asking, but I'm pretty sure that Jews have a special rule that before they break bread, they have to wash their hands in a ritual way." The priest tells the Jew. And then they have to make a special blessing on the bread. Many non-Jewish people know that we have to make blessings. I was, remember when I was a lawyer, many years ago, I used to order kosher food to conferences and things, and more than once, the conference organizer would come in while I was sitting in a lecture and whisper in my ear, "Mr. Manning, your bread is, your meal is, your kosher food is here. Would you like to come and bless it?" I had that many, many times. So, I had to bless it, you know. So, the non-Jewish people are aware you have to make a blessing. So the priest turned around to him and said, "I don't understand. How can you not wash your hands and make the proper blessing?" So the guy turned around to him and said, "Oh, that's a great question. This is a special kind of bread. This is, we call this mezonos bread, and it's designed and it's made in such a way that we don't have to wash, and we don't have to make the special blessing, and we don't have to do bench stroke, grace after meals, because we've designed it, and it's a very clever thing we've worked out." So the priest turned around to him and said to him, "I don't understand. Why would you go to great lengths to engineer a scenario which means you don't have to keep the mitzvahs, the commandments that God tells you to keep? And why are you excited about that? Why is that somehow..." Of course, he hasn't got a Yiddish cop. He doesn't realize the excitement of mezonos bread. So he has to try and explain to him how that works. But the priest's asking a good question. The priest's asking a good question, which is, why are we, if you like, circumventing mitzvahs that we have? And is this a problem? Is this an issue or is this not an issue? And brachot, making brachot, I promised that I'd talk a little bit more about mezonos bread specifically, and that's today. Making brachot is a very big part of our lives as Jews. Chazal, when they came along and produced an entire corpus of rabbinic legislation, a lot of that's divided into different kinds. There are gzeirot, which are fences in order to prevent us from stumbling on a Torah mitzvah, but there are also takanot. There are lots of rabbinic mitzvot that have the geder of a takana. We talked a little bit about this when we talked about Second Day Yom Tov. A takana is a positive institution that the rabbis made in order to enhance our Jewish lives. And there are many of them. For example, Chanukah is a takana that they said, "Let's have another holiday, let's make it in Kislev and let's celebrate," etc. One of the most important takanot that affects us on a daily basis is brachot. Chazal created brachot for everything. They were very excited about brachot. On many kinds of food, before you eat and after you eat, brachot on exciting times, on happy times, on sad times, brachot on seeing strange looking people and beautiful looking people and seas and mountains and deserts and etc. etc. Brachot are a very big part of our life, so much so that we actually psychologically often get much more excited about the bracha than the mitzvah itself. Someone who forgets in the middle of Sfirat HaOmer and forgets to count a day, and they say to him, "Don't worry, you can still do the mitzvah, you just count without a bracha." Count without a bracha. Count without a bracha. "What do you mean the bracha is a rabbinic mitzvah? The mitzvah is a daraisa." So we pass him, Sfirat HaOmer is also a rabbinic mitzvah, but leave that aside. Why are you more excited about the bracha than... Because the bracha for us is very exciting. The girls make brachas parties, sometimes they want to make this bracha and that bracha, etc. There are even interesting shilas that come in making multiple brachas. Last Saturday night, I'm sure you remember, Motzei Shabbos going into Yom Tov, we had all the Kiddush and Havdalah, and there's an entire page of Gemara dedicated to that, Yak Nahaz. There's a shaila, very interesting shaila comes up, if somebody, lo aleinu, loses a dear departed relative, but inherits millions of dollars from that relative, and therefore they have to make a brocha, baruch dain emes, and they also have to make a brocha atova meitiv. Which brocha do they make first? Which is an interesting question. You can discuss that later. But today's debate really revolves around mezonot bread. And here we'll see that Chazal picked up on a very interesting psychological question as to how we eat. When we eat, are we having a meal? Or are we having a snack? Or are we having a snack that we're pretending is a snack but it turns itself into a meal? It can happen. When we say, I'll just have one, is that real? Maybe one leads to two, leads to four, leads to six. And we'll see that this became a big issue. I once went into Berman's Bakery many years ago. I was instructed by someone to buy mezonot bread. Okay, we don't tend to go for it much in our family, but someone asked me to pick it up. So I went to the Berman's Bakery over there in Givat Shaul, and I asked the guy, behind the counter, he had a ponytail, he wasn't wearing a kippah, I don't know, I've seen him a few times, is this mezonot bread? And he gives me an entire shiur. Well, if you're Sephardi, then this is not, but if you're Ashkenazi, then according to this shita, then this shita, that. Ashreinu, that we live in a country where the guy that works in the bakery gives you a shiur when you ask him for a loaf of bread. Okay? So this is a wonderful one of these Eretz Yisrael moments. It never happened to me in London. Okay? Well, the truth is that Johnny Grzynski, who's a good friend of mine in London, he also gives me a shiur when I ask him about bread, but more about that in a minute. Now, where did Chazal pick up on this whole idea of brachot? Number one, there is one bracha in the Torah, and that is what we call benching. It's not entirely clear where the word benching comes from, by the way, maybe from Benedictus, but there's one bracha, number one. The psukim in Devarim say, Eretz asher loy b'miskenut tochal ba lechem. It's a land in which you will not eat bread in small amounts, you will eat in fullness. Loy techzabod ba'akol ha'aretz asher avneha barzel. This is a land that lacks nothing. There are precious stones and iron, umahara reha tachtov nechoshet, and its mountains you can hew out copper and bronze. Va'achalta v'savata uverachta et Hashem Elokecha. You will eat and you will be satisfied, and then you will bless the Lord God al haaretz over the land atova asher natan lach, over the good land that he gave you. This is the mitzvah of a bracha in the Torah. There's a debate as to whether Birkat HaTorah, the beginning, when you say the beginning of the day, before you learn Torah, maybe that is also De'oraita, but this is for sure De'oraita. And we sing it, Va'achalta, V'savata, U'barachta. Based on this, Chazal created a whole system of brachot, and we'll see soon, one of those brachot was Berei Minei Mezonot. Lechem has a very special status. There is a discussion in the Gemara in Brachas as to what exactly is this bracha va'achalta v'savata uvarachta on. Is it on all the shivat haminim, which I mentioned a couple of psukim before, or is it just on lechem, which is mentioned immediately before, where it said, lo b'miskenut tochal ba lechem. And the psak which we follow is the psak that it is only on whatever is called lechem. Lechem, however we define it, is the thing that deserves this bracha. And there is a pasuk in Tehillim. Tehillim David HaMelech writes, Matzmiach chatzir lebehema, that the land brings forth food for the animals, the esev la'avodat adam, and grain that we can, the people can work and produce. Why? Lahoitzi lechem min ha'aretz. And as you can see from there, the bracha of Hamotzi comes from those words in Tehillim, Lahoitzi lechem min ha'aretz. The yayin yisamach lavav enosh, wine also has a special status, it's mesameach, lahatzil pamin shemen, and also shemen, the lechem lavav enosh yis'ad. And lechem has this special quality that it is yis'ad. It makes a se'uda, it satisfies, it makes a meal. And therefore, the definition of bread, of lechem, is something which is made from the five grains, which are wheat and barley and spelt and oats and rye. Okay? If it's made from those five grains and it's baked, which makes it pat, okay, we have to define these words very carefully, because of course you can do other things with those five grains. You can cook them, you can boil them, you can make them into pasta, you can roast them and make them into granola bars, but if you bake them, if you make them into dough and you bake them, and you use them for a suda, because it used the word suda here, yis'ad, in Tehillim, that becomes lechem. So again, lechem, three qualities, three definitions, or three categories, if you like, to check three boxes. It has to be made from the five grains, number one. It has to be baked, number two. And it has to be used for a meal, number three. What if you bake it from the five grains, but you don't use it for a meal, you use it for a snack? So that we'll see right now. The Gemara, or our Mishnah in Brachos, says the following, number three. Keitzed mevarchem ala peirot. What are the different brachot that you make on peirot? Peirot here doesn't mean fruit specifically, it means produce.
Crops.
Yes, crops that you have, either grain or fruits or whatever. So he goes through, first of all, trees, al perei ha'etz, you may perei ha'etz, and then it says, al perot ha'aretz, what about stuff that grows from the ground? Omer borei peri ha'adama. Okay, borei peri ha'adama, it grows from the ground. Chutz, with one exception, min ha'pat. Now again, pat is not lechem, okay? Pat could be lechem or it could be snack food. Pat, sha'ala pat, hu omer ha'motze lechem min ha'aretz. That makes a straight statement on pat, you make hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz, which is the bracha that we, of course, know and love. And Chazal instituting the Tilas Yadayim on bread. The reason for that, there are a few reasons for Tilas Yadayim, by the way. One of the main reasons for the Tilas Yadayim is that bread was the staple food of the Kohanim when they ate their truma. Back in the day when we used to give truma to Kohanim, so a lot of the truma was from the Chameshet Aminim, was grain, wheat and barley, etc. And the Kohen, obviously, they wouldn't sit there chewing bits of wheat and barley. They'd bake it into bread like everybody else. So the Kohanim would eat their truma in the form of bread, and Chazal made a special rule for the Kohanim that they had to do Netilat Yadayim. Why? According to the Torah, there is no such thing as Yadayim being Tamei and the rest of you being Tahor. It's all or nothing. Either all of you is Tahor or all of you is Tamei. But Chazal said, no, for Truma, because it's special, we're going to have this din of Tumas Yadayim. And they said, Kohanim have to wash their hands, even if they're Tahor generally, they also have to wash their hands to eat Truma. And you know something? Not only Kohanim, but we're going to make a rule that everybody has to wash their hands to eat bread. Why? So the Kohen will never forget to wash their hands when they eat bread, because they are the real focus of the mitzvah. It's interesting. So exactly, so when you and I wash for bread today, we're making a statement that we're doing this because soon there'll be Kohanim eating the truma, and they have to make sure they remember, and therefore we also have to do this now as part of that process. There's also another reason for washing hands for bread, which is kedusha. And they bring from the posha, the psukim there, the kadishkan ve'isim kadoshim, you will make yourself kadosh and be kadosh. One is mayim rishonim, and one is mayim acharonim. And therefore there's another idea that when we wash for bread, we ourselves are almost like kohanim going into a holy service, and we wash before, etc., and we prepare ourselves. There are many similarities between eating at a meal and the Beit HaMikdash. The idea of the table is like a mizbeach. We talked a bit about this many moons ago when we talked about hachnasat orchim, which is not for now. Fine. So on lechem we do netilat yadayim, and there's a brocha hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Have a look, please, in number four. Even if you eat a tiny amount of bread, even a breadcrumb, even a tiny bit of matzah meal, you still have to make hamotzi. Shulchan Aruch says, v'im ein olom v'shal v'lo mechubar, el mufurar dakdak. If you eat bread which is in crumbs, it's crumbly, it's in small, tiny pieces, afal pishe ein bo kazayit, v'lo to'ar lechem, even though it's not a kazayit, it has a sort of volume of a kazayit, and even though it doesn't even look like bread, it looks like breadcrumbs. No, nevertheless, mavarech alav hamotzi ubirkat hamazon. If you eat enough breadcrumbs, one after the other, that you ate sufficient to bench, which we're not getting into that now, you have to make hamotzi. So, there is no de minimis rule. Even if you have a tiny, tiny piece of bread, a breadcrumb, you still have to wash your hands without a brocha of anatil shodayim because it's a small amount, and you still have to make hamotzi. Of what? So we'll see. The amount and quantity is not the key. That's the first thing I want to tell you. I mean, you can't tell me I'm only having a little bit, I don't need to make hamotzi, because even the tiniest amount is still hamotzi. Which brings us on to the issue of snacks. Okay? It's not about amounts, it's about your designation. In addition to the bracha of hamotzi, Chazal created another bracha. Borei minei mezonot. Now, there are two kinds of food that has borei minei mezonot. One of them is boiled and cooked grain food, like pasta. We make mezonot on a pasta. Granola bars are a big debate as to what the deal is with granola bars, because granola bars are not even cooked. the dry roasted grain put together with honey, and it could well be granola bars of bravery ha'adama, not berei minei mizanot. I'm not getting into that now. We can talk from now till tomorrow about granola bars and rice cakes. They're a very interesting thing as well. But everyone agrees pasta is mizanot. Everybody knows that. And therefore, if you cook your oatmeal or noodles or matzo balls or falafel or whatever, that is, I hope you've all had breakfast, because if you haven't had breakfast, you'll be hungry by the end of this year. That's part of the deal, okay? So that is berei minei mizanot. However, baked foods which are past, but do not yet make it into lechem, because they're not suda foods, they're also berei minei mizanot. And this is raised in the Gemara in number 5. Rav Yehuda was making a wedding feast for his son. Number 5. Rav Yehuda hu asikle lebrei bei Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva. He was involved in making this wedding for his son in the house of Yehuda bar Chaviva. Aisina kamai hu pat haba bekisnin. Now this is the phrase we have to define soon. Pat haba bekisnin. It's pat haba bekisnin. What does kisnin mean? Like a kiss, like a little pocket. Bread which comes, let's not call it bread, pat, which comes in little pockets. And we'll see this is snacky kind of food. Kiasa, when he arrived and he brought all this bread, this food in, and they were making brachas, Shmainu, he heard them, the Kemabarchi Hamotzi. He heard them all making Hamotzi on these, let's call them crackers. Amalahu, so he said to them, maybe it's crackler, something like that. My tzitzi, the kashmaina. What's all this tzitzi I can hear? I can hear samotzi tzitzi. He's like making a joke here. Why can I hear this hamotzi? Dilma hamotzi lechem in haaretz kamavrachis. Are they really making hamotzi on this? Amri Leh, so they said to him, yes, of course we are. You brought this out. We're having a meal. We're making hamotzi. The Tanya Rabbi Muna Amalishum Rabbi Yehuda, because we have a principle that Rabbi Muna said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, Pat Hababa Kisne Mevarchim Alav Hamotzi. Even snack pats, you make Hamotzi. The Amma Shmuel, and they said to him, and didn't Shmuel say, Halacha Ka Rabbi Muna? And that's the Halacha. Surely we need to make Hamotzi on all of this as well. So he said, no, you're making a big mistake. Amalu, he said to them, Ein halacha ki Rebbe Muna at Itmar. You've got it wrong. They said the halacha is not like Rebbe Muna. Not that the halacha is like Rebbe Muna. The halacha is not like Rebbe Muna. You don't make hamotzi, you make mazonas on this. Amri Leh, but they said to him, what do you mean? The hamaru da amam is shmei de Shmuel, but you yourself said, in the name of Shmuel, lachmani ots ma'arvim baho. Lachmaniot, which there also is a snack type food, a little bit of bready type food. You can make an Erev on them, Umabarachim Aleim Hamotzi. Didn't you yourself say that you make Hamotzi on Lachmaniot? I'm not sure these are the same as what we today call Lachmaniot. Today we call Lachmaniot, they're really bread, real bread. But they have something called Lachmaniot, and didn't you say to make Hamotzi? So he says, yes, but it's different. Shani Hasam, that's different to cover Sudaso Alai. That's when you're using them for a meal. But when you're not, I assume this was more like the reception for the wedding rather than the meal. You know, they put, and this, by the way, is a very common situation. People go, I'm going to a wedding tonight. You know, I hope it'll be a nice reception. Quite honestly, the food at the reception is usually better than the food at the dinner. You know, I think everybody really worked that one out by now. Okay. But, you know, you go there and they've got all these little triangle, pastry type things, and then this one, and then they have wraps. We'll talk about wraps soon, and all of that. We have all of those kind of, and you never quite know where you are at the reception, meaning you get quite into it and you eat quite a lot, but it's not the real. He said, no, you should be making mazonas, not hamotzi. Stop making hamotzi. Only when you're having a meal on this kind of food you make hamotzi, and therefore there is clearly an idea of mazonot on Pat Haba Bekisnin. And that indeed is the Shulchan Aruch Psak. We'll find what that is in a minute. Over the page. We'll see. We'll define them all in a second. Just wait on that definition. Number 6, the Shulchan Aruch rules in accordance with his Gemara, where Rav Yehuda said they should all be making mazonot, and he ruled that way. He said, pat haba bekisnin, if you have, and we'll define it in a second, this little pat that comes in pocket, snack pat, let's call it, mevarech alav borei minei mazonot, ula acharav brocha achat me'ein shalosh. And after that, you make the brocha achat me'ein shalosh, which is ala michle ve'ala kalkala ve'al tznuva fasada, etc., etc. Me'ein shalosh, meaning it's the essence of the three brochas. We have very long memories, okay? We still call benching shalosh brachot, even though for the last 1950 years, it's been four brachot, okay, since they added Hatovah HaMetim. In the same way that we still call Shmona Esrei, Shmona Esrei, even though for 2,000 years it's been Shah Esrei. Okay, fine, we don't change quickly. If anybody wanted a raya that we don't like, very immediate change, Shmona Esrei is a good one. So it says very clearly in Shulchan Aruch, if you have Pasa Baba Kisnin, you make Mezonot, and afterwards Alamichya. What is Pasa Baba Kisnin? This mysterious, snacky-type food, which is not yet bread, but it is made from the five grains. Have a look in number 7. The Shulchan Aruch brings three definitions of Pat Hababa Kisnin. He says as follows. Number 1. Pat Hababa Kisnin, Yesh Meforshin, there are those who want to suggest, this is the position of the Rach, Pat Hasya Asui Kamin Kisim, like the lady said over there, it's bread that's made almost in a kind of a not let's call pat, not call it bread, pat, which is made in pockets, Shemamal Motom Dvash, and you fill it with honey, or sukkar, or sugar, the egozim, or nuts, the shkedim, or almonds, the tavlin, or spices. He says it's pastry, which is filled with sweet filling. What do we call that? Pie. Something like pie. Something of that nature. Tarts. Meaning, I'm English, people here are American, we all call things different names. Rogalach. Well, how do they make rogalach? They're filled with sweet chocolatey. Rogalach. Rogalach, that sounds exactly. So let's call them pie, rogalach, tarts, that kind of thing. That's one definition. Number 2. We'll see Kreplach in a minute. Number 2, Beyesh Umrim Shehi Issa. There is another view which is different from the first view. This is the view of the Rambam, which is dough She'irav Bedvash. It's not that you filled the pastry with sweet stuff, it's that you made the dough with sweet material. Honey, or shemen, or oil, or chalav, or milk, or minei tavlin, or kinds of spice, the apa, and you bake the dough with sweet additives, with sugary things added. V'hushi tam tarovis hamei peres. But that's only when you can taste the sweetness in the dough, or a tavlin nikar b'isa, or it's somehow recognizable that this dough is not regular dough, it's got other stuff mixed in. And the Ramah, and this is important for us as Ashkenazim, whoever's Ashkenazi here, adds in the Rashi script, V'yesham Rim, and other people say that no, Shizen Nikra Pat Gomor, what you just described, where there's a little bit of sweetness added, a bit of sugar, a bit of honey, a bit of apple juice, that's called bread, real bread. That's Lechem. Ela, 1 second. Ela im ken yesh bahem har betavlin. Says we require there to be so much sweetness or dvash kemini matika shekorin lekach. We call it lekach here. Lekach is sweet honey cake. Okay, there has to be so much sweetness in it, says the Ramah, for us Ashkenazim, that before you can call it mazonus, you can call it downgrade to mazonus, it has to be very, very sweet. Shekemat hadvash vahatavlin hem ika. That it's almost like the honey is the main thing, v'chein noigem, and that is the minhag. Meaning, says the Ramah, if you have bread which is made with a little bit of sweetness, but it basically tastes almost like normal bread, that's hamotzi. But if you want to make mezonot on your dough, it has to be overwhelmingly sweet, like lekach, like a honey cake. So that is the second definition, which we would call cake, meaning dough which is made with things other than just water and flour, but it's made with eggs and honey, etc. Yes.
What if you add the jelly to the cracker
one? On the top. Okay, so the jelly on the cracker is going to... The cracker is still the cracker. We're talking about how you make the pat. Meaning if you take bread, like what happens if you put jam on bread? It doesn't downgrade it because it's sweet. Once the bread is bread, it's bread. Okay, you can put anything with it, it'll both change it from being bread. But if you cook it with other things, according to the first definition, meaning you cook it with pie filling, according to the second definition, you make the dough with sweetness, so that's mezonot. 3, and the third definition is, v'yesh meforshim, and this is Rav Haigon's definition, shehu pat bein mutuvelet, bein she'ein mutuvelet. It's not a question of how sweet it is, it could be sweetened or non-sweetened, but she'oizim otam ka'avim yiveshim. Because it's simota. It's made very brittle, like crackers, like masa. Okay? The third definition he brings of pata baba kisnin, it's not what it tastes like, it's the consistency. It's not soft and doughy, but it's hard and brittle. And says the Shulchan Aruch, the halacha kedivrei kulam. And we pass it like all of these three, that they're all mazonot. Shelakol elu advarim notnim lahem dinim she'amarnu bepat haba bekismet. In each of these three definitions, which again are either pie with a sweet filling, or dough which is made with sweetness, maybe a little sweetness, maybe according to the Ramah it has to be a lot of sweetness, or crackers, matzah, that kind of thing, which are very brittle. On all of those, he says, by definition, they are snack foods, they are not meal foods. People don't sit and have a meal based on cherry pie, okay, or lekach, or chocolate cake. Well, some of my students have a meal of chocolate cake. Okay, people don't have a meal. We'll talk about matzah in a minute. Ashkenazim have a funny relationship with matzah. We kind of upgraded it, even though many of the Sfaradim make bereim and imazim not on matzah the whole year, because it's clear from here that it's a cracker, and therefore crackers make mazonot. Ashkenazim have a slightly different approach. However, all of these three types are bereim and imazim not. Yes.
The savory quiche. How
was
that?
The savory quiche. So the quiche is made with, you maybe say it's savory, but it's still made with non-bread type things. It's made with eggs and it's baked other things into it. We'll talk about pizza soon, because there comes a point when your quiche becomes pizza, and your pizza, we'll see how that works. Fine. The Mishnah Brura, let's just talk a little bit about the Ashkenazi issue here with how sweet is the dough. He picks up on this in number 8 and says the following. Mishnah Brura, of course, is Ashkenazi. Harbet Tavne says, how much is a lot in terms of sweetness? Ratzalama, he needs to say as follows. Shekol tach tavlin mu'urav bahem. There's so much spice and sweetness mixed in. Ad she'al yedei zeh yeh menakera tavlin betam yoter. Okay? That it's really, really more noticeable to the sweetness mehakamach than the dough. The claim b'divash v'shemen v'chalav. Ba'inan, we need, as Ashkenazim, he says, she'yeh haroiv mehem. Okay, most of it has to be sweetness. Umiyot mayim, and only a minority has to be water. She'al yedei zeh nirgash mehem atam harbe. Again, he reinforces, you have to bite into it and go, sweet, lovely, something different to bread. Ma'od, harbe ma'od. Ad she'al yedei zeh hem ha'ikah. That the sweet is the main thing, v'tam ha'isa tothel, and the dough of the bread is actually downgraded to a less important. V'kein v'tziur harish, and so too in the case of the pie, shekazav ha'shulchan aruch, shememali mehen, which you fill with sweet stuff, v'in and gamkein shiyeh hamilui harbeth, there has to be a lot of filling, kol kach ad she'al yedei zeh yiyeh nirgash ha'tam harbe me'od. You have to really taste the filling, not just the bread. And this leads to, by the way, an interesting debate between the Sfaradim and the Ashkenazim. The Sfaradim are very quick to downgrade from hamotzi to mazonot. If the bread is even a little bit sweet, if it even has raisins and things like that, the Sfaradim will say, oh no, that's not hamotzi, we can't use that for hamotzi, that is mazonot, it's sweet, it's cake. Whereas the Ashkenazim, it has to be very sweet before it turns into mazonot. Yeah, and this will raise a question on our what we call mazonot bread. When you eat mazonot bread today, how sweet does it taste? Meaning you can sometimes tell the difference. This is not regular bread. It has a slightly different consistency. It has a slightly different taste. But you don't bite into mazonot bread and go, honey. Or, spices. Because it tastes like regular bread. Yes?
Yeah, but you said point number 5. Unless a person is using it with a bread for his meal. So in other words, if you've got the bread in front of you, which is going to make the most
right.
With raisins and all sorts of sweetness.
Right. So we'll see. We'll talk about that in just 5 minutes of upgrading to make it into your meal. Meaning, in theory, you could make a meal on anything. We once went away on holiday many years ago when we forgot the challahs. Okay, we went to some bungalow somewhere and we forgot the challahs. But what did we have? We had chocolate cakes. We didn't forget the chocolate cakes. Shows you a bit about our priorities. We had chocolate cake but no challahs. So on Friday night for hamotzi, we made hamotzi on 2 chocolate cakes. The kids thought this was fantastic. The kids were looking at the fact. The kids said, we want to go away on holiday all the time. You know, we could make hamotzi on chocolate cake for Shabbos. But we'll talk about that. We can upgrade in a minute. Yes.
I eat it without making a bracha, so I have another bracha.
Okay, good. So that's another question. Do you have to make a bracha on food that you just taste and then you spit out? That can be another share, but that's not for now. So probably, yes.
I was always taught that the difference between hamotzi and mazonos is that is made with water and flour, and mazonos is made with milk.
Right.
Flour or juice of flour.
Right.
So when you bite into a mazonos, you know that it's mazonos because it's sweet from juice and pizza.
So the answer is that's half true. The difference between hamotzi and mazonos is not necessarily the ingredients. The difference between hamotzi and mazonot is the designation. And that's what makes it difficult. If it's a meal food, it's hamotzi. And if it's a snack food, it's mazonot. By your definition, for example, if you eat little matzah crackers, okay, which are not sweet at all, what brocha, even Ashkenazim, what brocha do they make on matzah crackers? Mazonot. Mazonot, the snack food. You don't make hamotzi on a matzah cracker. You make mazonot on a matzah cracker. If you eat it with a little bit of cheese or something like that. It's mazonot. And therefore, it's not the ingredients, it's the designation. And therefore, we saw three types of food which are snack foods. Either they have sweet filling, or they have sweet dough, or they have a funny brittle consistency, but these are mazonot. Therefore, the first problem that we have with mazonot bread, what we call mazonot bread, is it doesn't taste sweet. They might put stuff into it, but you can't really taste it very much. One solution to that might be that if you have the majority as juice and only the minority as water. There is a shita, but once you make the majority, and you have to call up your local baker and ask them for their definition, for their recipe rather, for mazonos bread. But there are those who say no, because we use the majority of our liquid is juice, and therefore even though it doesn't taste like sweet juice, it nevertheless is classified as mazonos bread. Most poskim do not agree with that. Most poskim say no, it actually has to taste of something in order to be mazonos bread. Just because you use majority non-water, it doesn't help. I spoke many years ago to Johnny Grzynski, who is a friend of mine in London, who Grzynski's bakery, if you know, if you're in London, you'll know Grzynski is. And he told me he has a secret formula which he couldn't possibly divulge. It's like Coca-Cola. There's Coca-Cola and mazonos bread, they go together. But he told me that actually they use a recipe which has no water at all for their mazonos bread. It is pure juice or pure raisin juice or something like that, and that's one of the reasons that they make their mazonos bread in that way. But this is, if you like, the first problem that we have as Ashkenazim, certainly with mazonos bread. It really doesn't taste sweet enough. Yes?
But if the designation is important, because mazonos bread is kovei asudah, you are eating it with
the rice. Good. That's going to be the next problem. You're right. So before we even deal with that problem, the first problem is the roll itself doesn't seem to be anything other than lechem. Meaning, look at our three definitions. Either it has to be filled with sweet pie filling, well, that doesn't apply to mazonos bread, or it has to be brittle, well, that doesn't apply to mazonos bread, or it has to taste very sweet. That's the only one it can qualify under, and frankly, it usually doesn't qualify. That's the first question. The second question, we're getting on to the lady's point over there. Yes?
How did we get the sweetness? They mentioned halal instead of water. Shemen,
chalav, tavlin, they mentioned all of those things.
It doesn't have to be sweet.
No, it has to taste of something matzah. Go over to page number 3, please. Let's raise this other question, which has come up in a couple of other questions we've had before, which is as follows. Okay, let's say I make my mazonos bread very sweet. Let's say I even eat chocolate cake, which is for sure mazonot. There comes a point when it becomes a meal. When is a meal a meal, and when is a meal a snack? And that's going to be an interesting thing to define. For brochas, that really is the key here. Have a look in number 9, please. Says the Shulchan Aruch, when he's dealing with Pata Baba Kisnim, Ve'im achel mimenu shi'ur, but if you eat enough of it, she'acherim regilim likvo alav, that other people normally would call a meal, kviya psuda, you mean, who are you trying to kid? You're eating 3 chocolate cakes here. That's not a snack. Even though you have Baruch Hashem a gesunder appetite, and you say, no, for me this is a snack. I can eat pretzels till the cows come home, you know? I'll eat them all day long. There comes a point, says the Shulchan Aruch, when your mazonos snack has upgraded to a meal. And you can't pretend anymore, even if you say it's not a meal, other people call this a meal, it's a meal. You should have washed, you should have benched, and therefore, even if you're eating a chocolate cake, the brocha is hamotzi, the tila shidayim, hamotzi lechem min haaretz, and benching, a full benching afterwards. Yes?
But a kaveisa of pretzels and a kaveisa of a chocolate cake thing,
yes,
are so vastly different.
Good! So we'll have to see. We'll have to see what the volumes are. Well, I'll give you some examples in a minute. Yes, Harry.
How can it be a loaf without
bread? Oh, that's the point. The point is bread is not just bread. Bread is anything made from the five grains which is baked and which you turn into a meal. Usually bread is bread, but anything which is cake could potentially be bread according to halacha, if you eat enough of it. Yes. Good, we'll talk about that. That's number 13. Meaning, you can't decide whether you're having a snack or a meal, okay? I used to be indecisive, I'm not sure anymore though. Yes.
Sometimes you start, as he was saying, sometimes you feel a bit peckish.
Yes, we'll get to that, we'll talk about that right now. Let's go. So how much is a lot? Let's see what the definition is. The Mishnah Brura brings two definitions here. First of all, number 10. She'achen regilim likvar. What does it mean that normal people would eat a meal and therefore it's a full meal? Kasvo achronim. The achronim raise the following point, says the Mishnah Brura. De'im achru levado. If it's eaten alone, you're just eating cake alone. Tzara she'ochel shi'ur she'achen regilim nisbo memenu levado. Then enough means the amount that people would eat of an equivalent bread if they just ate bread alone. Let's say I said to you, how much bread would you eat for a meal? Just bread. Nothing else. Nothing else with it, just bread. You're just having toast or bread. How much would you eat? That's the relevant shit. But he says, Ve'im achlu im basar. But if you're eating your crackers or mezonot, whatever it was, im basar, with meat, or dvarim achirim, or other things, shemalastim bo, which you normally put hapat with the bread, sagi, then it'll be enough, meaning the shi will be sufficient, k'she'ochel shi she'achem regil nizbo mimenu k'she'ochem gam came in dvarim achirim. Meaning, we use bread in different ways. Sometimes we eat just bread, but often, maybe normally, we eat bread with other things. So if you're asking, what is the shear of mezonot? What is the amount of crackers that upgrades to hamotzi? So the first thing the Mishnah Berurah says is you have to ask yourself, are you just having crackers? In which case the relevant shear is, what would the equivalent bread be of a meal? Or are you having crackers? Imagine you go to a kiddush on Shabbos morning, so there's crackers, and there's herring, and there's kugel, and there's and then you end up, and there's chopped herring, and there's chopped liver, and there's some of these kiddushim. I once went in America to a kiddush, like one of the early days of my trip to America. I went to the Hashkama Minyan. So they said, oh, you'll enjoy it, there's a kiddush. I thought, oh, it'll be like 12 old men who can't sleep, and a shtickle, you know. That's what the Hashkama Minyan will be. I couldn't believe it. It was bigger than a wedding. In the 5 pounds I was at this kiddush, I couldn't eat for a week afterwards. Okay? So at what point does your crackers really turn into a real meal because you're eating with other things? The Mishnah Brewery gives two specific quantities that define a meal as a meal. One is very strict, and we'll see according to this, almost every time you end up eating crackers, you're going to end up washing and making a motzi. And the other one is less strict, which we hold like according to most poskim. Look at number 11 first. Says number 11, the hine. Le'inyan eruv etchumim b'simen shin samachay says what? How much is a meal? Well, it comes to eruv. Ita d'shir suda, the amount for a meal is gimel or dalad beitzim, 3 or 4 eggs worth. Okay. Now, how big is an egg? Not that big. Okay.
It depends on the size.
It depends on the size. Yes, that's true. But you know, roughly speaking, you have 4 eggs worth. V'kasvu kama achronim dehu adin kan chashiv zeh shir kviyat suda. And many achronim, he says, right, that is indeed, for our purposes, the amount. Once you eat, if you're eating crackers alone, meaning if you're eating crackers with other things, maybe it's even less than this, but once you're eating, if you're eating crackers alone, if you eat the equivalent crackers or cake or whatever it is of 4, let's be lenient, 4 kvetzim, okay, which is 8 kvetzim, then you are going to have to wash. How much is 4 kibetzim? So I brought you some rough equivalents in the middle of the page. In bread terms, that would be something like 2 center slices of a large loaf, around 4 pieces of matzah, a bit less than 4 pieces of matzah, more or less a bagel, just over 3/4 of a bagel. Meaning, if one were to eat cake of that equivalent, this would be the amount, just over 1 donut, although donuts are a separate shaila because they're deep fried. Very unhealthy donuts, but deep fried, and therefore it may be that they never turn into hamotzi, which is a different question. We can talk about that at Hanukkah. Maybe, it may be according to some poskim, donuts are a bit different. 4 eclairs, okay, 1.5 muffins, 8 2-inch wedges of pie, around 14 cookies, and 50 little Tim Tam things, which you can eat very quickly. You know, you can eat 50 of those in no time at all. According to that first opinion in the Mishnah Brura, once you're hitting that level of cake eating, then you have a shaila, which is, should I actually have made hamotzi? And we'll talk about changing your mind in a minute. That obviously is not very much. Meaning, I don't know, 4 eclairs in a vacuum sounds like quite a lot, actually. I think it rather depends on how you view these things. But, you know, one could easily eat more than that. When I was in Kollel, I remember there was one particular fellow there who felt that his job was to supervise everybody else's halakhic observance. There's always one like this, okay? One of these fellows that you really, really pain in the neck, but he was a nice guy, so you kind of lived with it. And he used to walk around looking at everybody eating their crackers for lunch. And at the moment that they got to 4 kibbutzim, he'd say, you have to wash, you have to bench, etc., etc. You really wanted to hit the guy in the face at the time. But it was actually quite useful because he was very, very macbeth on this. He used to come and tell you your hair was too short. Everything. One of those fellas. So at that point, according to the Mishnah Brura, you would have to bench. Yes?
There are bagels that are boiled.
True. Bagels are boiled, but they're boiled before they're baked, and therefore we regard bagels as being pat, not being like pasta. Meaning when we talk about multiple processes like boiling and baking, we go with the last one. I really need to go on a little bit because I don't want to go on later. That is true, by the way, on Shabbat as well, in terms of when you're saying ein bishel achar bishel or ein bishel achar afia. Sometimes you need to know whether something is boiled or baked. The answer is, it's whatever it was most recently done to it, that's what it is. Therefore, bagels are baked, not designated as mavushal. So the second shear, which is more lenient, which is the one that most poskim go, is this. Number 12. Aval kama achronim, v'hagro michlalam. There are other achronim, says the Mishnah Brura, and including the Vilna Gaon, who are more lenient. Cholkim, they say, no, that's too little, meaning you can eat much more than that and still be okay with mazonos. The Svirulahu, and they hold the Ein Levarech Hamotzi Ubirkas Hamazon, that you only need to make Hamotzi Ubirkas Hamazon Ela Kashir Suda Kavua Shehu Shel Erev Uvok. Now, this is more lenient but less clear. He doesn't give an amount, and he says, look, the amount that becomes Hamotzi is the amount that you'd eat for a regular proper meal. Shir Suda Kavua Shel Erev Uboke. He's not talking about breakfast. He's talking about a main meal. 2 main meals of the day, classically, with a morning meal and the evening meal. Therefore, if I ask you the following question, let's imagine you were just eating bread for your evening meal. That's all you had. You had nothing else. How many slices of bread do you feel that a person would eat? People don't eat bread anymore, but whatever. Imagine back in the day, go back 20 years when everybody ate bread, okay? How many slices of bread would you eat for an evening meal?
4.
2. 3. 4, 6. So you see already that this is not a subjective only thing. And the poskim, who basically follow this rule, and they say that that's the equivalent amount of crackers that you have to think of a point at which you upgrade to hamotzi, it depends. There are different groups. Meaning, grown men eat different amounts for dinner than teenage girls. Who eat different from children, who eat different from older people. And therefore, the poskim say that basically you have to work out who you are, in what kind of group you are, and that's the amount that would be the amount that you would upgrade to hamotzi. So, I would go with you on the 6 there, okay? That if I came home from work hungry, if I came home from work hungry at the end of the day, and I hadn't eaten, and I wasn't eating till tomorrow, and my wife said to you, all we've got for dinner is slices of bread, I'm sorry, I wouldn't be satisfied with 3 slices of bread. I'm hungry. And therefore, I think it could be that it would be more than that. Whereas other people would turn around and say, no, 2 slices of bread, that's enough for me. And that's all people like that eat. And therefore, I went through this with Rav in Pnini Halacha, Rav Eliyaz Malamed's sefer, and I saw what was his take on this. And he says, we definitely pass in like this opinion, which is that at the end of the day, what you have to try and work out is, how much is the amount that regular people in your group would eat as a meal? Okay? And it's certainly not going to be less than 4 kibbutzim. That's going to be a minimum. So if you're eating less than 4 kibbutzim, that's not going to be an issue. But it could well be quite a lot more than that. If you're extremely satisfied very quickly, then that doesn't necessarily define it either. Look at number 13, and then we'll talk about pizza. Says the Shulchan Aruch, "V'im achol shir she'acherim ein kovim alav." If you eat the amount that most people are not satisfied with, atol pishehu kovei alav. Even though you say, "Oh no, I only have a half a slice of bread," you eat like a little bird, and that's all you do. Ein mabarech ela borei min mazonos. No, that's still mazonot. You're not normal, he says. Ubracha achas mein shalosh debakla data etzel kol adam. Your view does not define the reality because that's not normal for your group, and therefore you have to work out what that is. We'll plug that in a minute into pizza, etc. But you can already see that for mazonos bread, this is going to be a significant problem. Because people don't nibble mazonos bread, they eat it like bread. And they eat significant amounts. And that's not to mention that when they eat it with other food, which they often do. Imagine you're going to a wedding and they serve mazonos bread or whatever, or a kiddush, and you're eating with all those other things. Very quickly, it adds up to the amount of bread that you would normally eat with those other foods, and therefore will be hamotzi. And even if the mazonos bread is overwhelmingly sweet, even if we solve our first problem and we make real bona fide mazonot bread, once you eat enough of it, then it's not going to help. And you've upgraded into hamotzi land, and you're going to have to deal with that. Now, you ask the question, what happens if you're one of these people that starts with a nibble and ends up with a whole chocolate cake? The Shulchan Aruch has appreciated that situation. Because it's human nature, isn't it? You start with one, and then you have another, and then you have another. There's a lot, by the way, of psychology in brachot. And being honest with yourself. You know, when do you need to break, for example, at separate shaila, if you make a bracha rishona, once you've stopped eating, then the bracha rishona ends, and you have to make a new bracha rishona. So if I have a piece of chocolate, make a shahakol, and then, you know, finish that, and then an hour or two later have another piece of chocolate, I'll make a new shahakol. So the Shulchan Aruch has an entire discussion about what happens with people who say they're only going to have one, but then 5 minutes later, oh, go on, I'll have another one. Oh, then I'll have another one. You know that last biscuit, that last cookie on the plate, which people are breaking in half, then a quarter, then an eighth, and then a thing, in the vain self-delusion that they're not going to eat it? Okay? So that's already discussed by the Shulchan Aruch. So here, number 15, he says as follows. Im mitzchila haya bedato lechol mimenu ma'at. If originally you started off with intention to eat only a little bit, u birech borei minei mazonot, and you made the bracha borei minei mazonot, the achar kach achal shiur, but in the end it turned out that you ate a shiur, you ate an amount, she'acherim kovim alav. When you look back on your session, you say, my goodness, this turned into far more than I thought it would. Yivarech alav birkat hamazon. You have to bench. Afal pi shaloi birech hamotzi tchila, even though you never made hamotzi. And that's the halacha. That sometimes you make a mazonot at the beginning, but you bench at the end. Because you look back and you say, you know something, I ended up having the relevant amount. The fact that I only had a mazonot in the beginning doesn't mean that I have to make alamichia at the end and you end up benching. If in the middle of your eating session you realize, you know something, who am I trying to kid? I'm going to have from now on a whole amount. So then you'd have to wash and make hamotzi and work in that way. But sometimes you make mazonot at the beginning and birkat hamazon at the end. Now, how does that leave us with our problems of mazonot spread? So we've so far had two major problems. The first one is it's probably not sweet enough to count as mazonot spread in the first place. The second problem is that people eat sufficient amounts as to qualify as hamotzi even if it were sweet enough. But we have another problem, as Ashkenazim for sure, which is that sometimes we treat things as bread, and therefore they become bread. Look at matzah. Matzah has basically been substituted as a bread. Substitute. And therefore we make hamotzi on matzah. If we make hamotzi on matzah, how can we not make hamotzi on mazonot bread? Meaning, is mazonot bread less bread than matzah is bread? Matzah is dafka one of the exact things the Shulchan Aruch turned around and said is not bread. It's crackers. And yet we've decided it is bread. And therefore, if it's a bread substitute, one of the good rules of thumb is, if you call it bread, it's probably bread. Okay? If you call it cake, it's more likely to be cake, but if you call it bread, then it's probably bread. Yes?
What about the rice cake?
Well, rice cakes are easy because they're made from rice. And rice is not one of the five grains, and therefore you'll never end up having to make hamotzi on a rice cake. The shaila with rice cakes, and I'm not getting into that now, is you make a shahakol, because they're not cooked at all, they're like whatever, extruded, or whatever you call it. Or do you make a brefri ha'adama? Or do you make a borei minei mazonot? Because rice, when cooked, takes a mazonot. But rice cakes are not necessarily cooked. They don't boil them up and make them that way. They take the grains of rice and they puff them up and do all sorts of things. Food technology makes brachot very, very interesting. For example, today, what bracha do you make on a glass of orange juice? Straightforward. Why? Because you always make a bracha of ha'etz if it's the thing that the tree itself is grown for. The shehakol means you're eating something or drinking something which is not the primary purpose of the tree. So let's bring it to the derivative, exactly. Therefore, if you have an apple is grown for apples, an apple tree, and therefore apples are ha'etz, and apple juice is shehakol. However, if you look at the world today we live in, most orange trees today are grown specifically for juice, not for the fruit. And therefore the question now becomes, does orange juice now become the main product of the orange tree, as opposed to oranges themselves, in which case the juice itself may be borei pri ha'etz. I'm not suggesting that we should all make borei pri ha'etz and orange juice, but that's part of one of these interesting questions that comes up today in Hilchos Brachos. Therefore, mazonos bread is an issue. I brought you at the end, since this is the OU Israel Center, I thought we should quote from the OU. Look on page 4, please, in the middle of the page. He says here, the OU website says, however, hamotzi is required for mazonos bread or a mazonos roll, except where it is baked like a cake and is not eaten as a substitute for bread. So basically the OU has ruled that mazonos bread is hamotzi unless both, it is very sweet and also is eaten only as a snacky food and is not used as a bread substitute. There is another question, by the way, which is when you're up 33,000 feet in the air, okay, what's the deal there? I spoke to Diane Jakob Lichtenstein in London once about, because they, in the Federation, they used to, I haven't looked recently, but the Federation used to provide the meals on the planes, and he used to say, this role is mazonot. And I said to him, you know, is there a, how can you say it's mazonot? What about all these issues? And he said, when you're eating a regular achas, like this and like this, 34,000 feet in the air, there's no such thing as kviat suda, and therefore he wants to say that it was mazonot. Now, I hope I haven't misquoted him. It was a long time that I spoke to him. He'd have to check with him. But there, it's an interesting point that maybe there are certain scenarios, and still it would have to be sweet. I don't think that would help on the sweetness, but there are certain scenarios which are not kviat suda. And sitting eating at a table on an aeroplane is very hard to say you're koveya anything, which, by the way, raises a question. There's a shtick that people like to do sometimes. They want to have sheva brachas on the aeroplane. Yeah. The chasen and kala are flying back from America to Israel, let's say, and they're in, there's a chasen and the kala there, they're flying al al, and they say, everyone starts singing, they say, let's make sheva brachas on the plane. The shaila is, it's not so straightforward to make sheva brachas on the plane, because if you can't be koveya suda, then you can't make a zimun, and if you can't make a zimun, you can't say sheva brachas, and therefore, the issue of sitting on a plane with a meal is more than just hilchot brachot. So if you're thinking of making sheva brachas on a plane, either for your children, for your grandchildren, or for yourself, then think again. Go first class. Fine. And invite another 10 people, first, 10 men first class with you. Let me just do the last thing because there's 3 minutes left. Let's talk about two remaining things, which are pizza and wraps. And once we've talked about wraps, we'll say, that's a wrap. Okay, one slice of pizza or two slices of pizza? This is the question. The big issue with pizza is really as follows. Pizza is not sweet. It's a bit like a question about quiche and things like that. Pizza's not sweet. However, pizza is made as a snack, or is it? Therefore, most poskim say the following about pizza. If the pizza is being eaten as a snack, and is designed as a snack, and it really depends on who you ask. Is pizza a snack food? Is pizza something you just grab at 11 o'clock in the morning because you're feeling a bit peckish to keep you going before lunch? Or is pizza a meal? My mother-in-law and father-in-law are English and very proper, and they eat pizza with a knife and fork.
Yeah.
Okay? Because pastnish to eat with your fingers. Okay? So if you ask them pizza, meal or snack, they say pizza is a meal. But if you ask my students, probably, you know, pizza, they grab a pizza, and they even make snack pizzas. These little pizzas that you throw in the oven or throw in the microwave for a couple of minutes and you eat them as a snack. So if the pizza is designed as a snack food, then it makes sense to say that it's borei min mazonot. However, the same problem is going to apply that once you eat enough of it, it's going to be a sheer kviyat suda, and therefore the fact you call it a snack is not going to help. And therefore the rule they normally give with pizza, I'll read you over the page on page 5 what it says on the OU website about pizza. It says, first of all, pizza meal and pizza snack, okay? When it says pizza snack, it says mazonot and ala michil. Pizza meal, he says, hamotzi birkas hamazon. It is pat habarbekis. And if two slices are eaten without other foods, this would constitute a kvir suda for an obligation of birkas hamazon. And therefore, they pass it, and this is how most poskim say, I think even in the pizza shop in Efrat, it says something like one slice mazonot, two slices hamotzi. The OU rules that if you have two slices of pizza, you are to make a birkas hamazon, even a bench, hamotzi birkas hamazon. If the pizza is eaten with other food, such as French fries and salad, whatever the amount of bread a person would usually eat at a similar meal with other food, this is what we were saying before, would constitute kviyat suda pizza, even if it's less than two slices. And this is exactly what we said before, that if you're eating the pizza with other food, then you have to ask, how much bread, if I were eating bread, would I eat with other food? And the answer is possibly significantly less than two slices, and therefore you're even in a shaila with one slice. If you're having one slice of pizza with fries and this and that and a bit of salad, it may well be you have to make hamotzi and bench in any event, and if you're having two slices, then all the more so. When it comes to wraps, that's an interesting question. I don't know if you're into wraps, but a lot of people are into wraps these days. First of all, there are certain wrap-type things, tortillas, etc., which are actually made from corn. They're made from maize, and therefore there's never a shaila of hamotzi because they're not made from the fine grain. So the brocha on a tortilla will be shehakol, because it's made from flour and put together again. It doesn't look like the fruit. It's certainly not brekri adama, so it'll be shehakol. However, wraps which are made from wheat and barley, and I don't think they make them from barley, but wheat they certainly make them from. So they are a meal food, and I would write what it says here, read what it says on the OU website again. Here he says that wraps are hamotzi and birkas hamazon. So if one were to eat a plain wrap unfilled, it would be mazonot. Because who eats a plain wrap for a meal? Because it's not the way people eat it, etc. But if one were to eat a wrap filled with tuna or cheese, the proper brocha is hamotzi. And therefore, hopefully we've seen that this is really an issue which is complex. But when you boil it down, no pun intended, to the basic issues, then hopefully it is fairly straightforward, and we can make brochas with greater clarity in the future. So I will be away for 3 weeks. In 4 weeks from today, please God, we will have a very different subject, which I'm looking forward to already. Have a good few weeks, and we'll see you soon.